We're going to open with prayer for this Sunday's message of Sunday School is the cure for anxiety. Let's just open with prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning with thankful and grateful hearts. Some of us are weary and heavy laden, but you are a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We rest in you, for you are gentle and humble in heart, and our souls long to be with you. Help us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything we pray to you with thanksgiving in our heart. Lord, you know the hearts of each one here today. We pray for the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We pray for your guidance today in our word and in our speech. In Christ's name, amen. So again, we're going to be studying Lecture 10 with Sinclair Ferguson, The Cure for Anxiety. I'm just going to read the introduction to Section 10. Our understanding of God, or the lack thereof, can either be the cause or the cure for our anxiety in this lesson. Dr. Ferguson expands on the illustration that Jesus uses to teach about the gospel cure for our anxiety, knowing our Father. So far in our study of the Sermon on the Mount, there is a foundation and pattern to Jesus' teaching. He is the King in God's kingdom, and the kingdom has come. He has shown the power of the kingdom and is now teaching people about kingdom discipleship. The chapters of the Sermon on the Mount can be summed up in one word in Matthew 5 with fulfillment and Matthew 6 with Father. In Matthew 6, 1 through 18, Jesus teaches us how the knowledge of God as Heavenly Father delivers us from hypocrisy. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34, which is what we'll be reviewing today, Jesus teaches us that the knowledge of God as Heavenly Father delivers us from anxiety. A couple key things, therefore, is a key word to pay attention to in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, and where we place our treasures, the light from which we see, and the masters that we serve all create anxiety. And those are some things to be thinking about. The other things I'd like you to think about is just some questions to think about as we go through this study. One is, what do we gain by worrying? And two is, why do we have anxiety? And what are some causes of our anxiety? And three, what is the cure? And I say the cure, not the coping method. You'll be happy to know that there's 20 million citizens in the country that suffer with anxiety. So we're not alone. And over half the world suffers with some form of anxiety. The 20 million are, they go see doctors and that kind of stuff. But Jesus gives us the cure for our anxiety, and that's what we're going to review, and hopefully we'll learn today. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. We'll read that first text. Would someone like to read? Mike? Thank you. Greg's coming.
19 through 34.
Yep, 19 through 34.
Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much. With that, we'll start the video. Dan, whenever you're ready. So when you were listening to that and those three questions I asked you at the beginning, I'm just going to open up for thoughts and comments about what that spoke to you and what you do when you have anxiety. And just open it up for questions, more comments, you know, and how it has helped you or blessed you to throw yourself to the Lord in a time of your own trial when you didn't have the answer. Lauren.
One of the things that it makes me think of is that in a sense, the anxious person, or any of us when anxious, are craving one thing, and the word that comes to me for that is security. And what secures us? And that is what Jesus is pointing us to, I think, here, that this section in chapter 6 about do not be anxious, in a way it could be summed up with three words: he's got you. And that's the security that covers all anxiousness, or can, at least. And I even think I've found myself often picturing rock climbing as kind of an illustration. Yep. And thinking about how there's two different ways people do rock climbing. There are the insane who free climb. I mean, just thinking about that movie makes my palms sweat. But then there's another way, and it's a way in which we're still climbing, but we're roped in, and there's somebody at the end of the rope, and we know that if I begin to fall, somebody's got me, and that changes the whole experience of climbing this cliff that is still a cliff. You know, so that whole sense of he's got you.
Amen. Thank you.
I'm sure after this week in the stock market, the anxiety rating in this country is soaring. Sue's parents left us a small inheritance, and it's with the lady up in it's with a company up in North Dakota, and of course, like everybody else here, or most people, there's 401ks and so forth, and we got this notice of information on us that we need to correct if necessary. And one of the things was our net worth. And I thought, boy, where'd they come up with this number? This is really off. And I told Sue, and I said, especially after this week, it's probably even a lot less. And she said, and Sue said, yes, she said, but our security is not in money, in what we have. And it's true, you know, we're in the hands of the Lord, and that's money, and, you know, money's money, but it's not our security. Our security is in Christ, in God, you know, the sovereignty of God and what he has for us. So, kind of a long story to illustrate that truth, but it was real. Yeah. You know, this week.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with having possessions, just as long as it's not our treasure, right? Abraham was very wealthy, but it wasn't his treasure.
I think for some people, at least, the issue isn't necessarily finding security on earth rather than in God. The issue is that they don't feel secure with any of it. And to continue the rock climbing analogy, the one time I ever went rock climbing was in high school with my youth group. And it was, you know, a really small wall. And I went up it, and I did fine all the way up. And I felt like I was safe until that moment when you have to let go and rappel downward. And at that point, I realized I had no faith whatsoever in this stuff that was holding me. Yeah. And I think that's anxiety for a lot of people. Not that they're finding security in the wrong thing, but they just have nothing to hold on to. And they don't really trust God. So I guess I don't really know where I'm going with that. It's just this idea that it's not even necessarily stuff that we're holding on to. We just don't necessarily feel like we have anything because we don't know God well enough or we don't trust God enough. And it's a lack in that department, not just a replacement with other things.
That is where faith grows, when we don't have the answer, when we're about to leave our job because we want to try something new, and you think you're going to lose your house, and you say, Lord, catch me. I don't know where I'm going, but I feel led to do this. Chris, and then, sorry, brother.
I agree. I think, though, there's two ways then people go with that insecurity. Like, because they're always going to be, we're always going to be trying to get security because we don't feel it. And so it's you go towards the Lord or you go towards stuff and health or wealth or any of that stuff, which is all fleeting and it's all, you know, there's no real security here. Like we see, I mean, we could have stage 4 cancer and not know it right now. I mean, it's, you know, so I agree. It's that lack of security though, that sends people one of the two directions.
Sure. Gary's next. Thanks, Chris.
Well, I just wanted people to know I've never been rock climbing and have no interest in it. You know, I think that everyone has a certain need for, I think, security. I think a lot of it has to do with control, sense of control. And when we dwell upon the sovereignty of God, we realize that we don't have to be in control. We need to be responsible, but then we make our plans, but the Lord directs our steps. You know, the scripture indicates that God gives us the power to make wealth. He's the one who gives us the open doors. I remember as a young person, I'm not young anymore, but as a young person, I would read Proverbs, and I came across that passage that talked about, you know, give me neither poverty nor riches. If I'm impoverished, then I'm tempted to be angry and to curse God. But if I'm rich, I'm tempted to forget God. And and the Lord's answered my prayer, because I've never been in poverty or never been rich. But we don't want our possessions to possess us, you know. And I think that's really the issue that he was bringing out, I think, is that you can put your treasure in your possessions, and if they possess you, then there's something very, very wrong.
Yeah. Amen. Yep.
So something I've been thinking about, especially in relation to what we heard today, oftentimes when I'm tempted to be anxious, my mom will say, quote Elizabeth Elliot to me. She says, do the next right thing. So kind of along the lines of not, even if we don't have control, we can still do the next right thing, the next thing that God would want us to do, which is to trust him, one, and to be responsible is another one. And I find that my anxiety decreases tenfold when I just do what I'm supposed to,
sure,
instead of worrying about it.
By loving God first. Mm-hmm. You're loving God despite your circumstances. Mm-hmm. Susan's right behind you. Right behind you. There you go.
I've been thinking a lot about the anxious recently with what's going on in the world and people out in the East Coast, my Facebook world of unbelieving Facebook world out East, and how many people are so fearful about, not right now, the stock market perhaps, or the coronavirus thing, or I have a friend who's about to have open heart surgery, and you know, his I keep saying, you know, aloud to his unbelieving world, who are all sharing all their good thoughts with him, my thoughts are with you, and you know, I'll be hoping that things go well, and I keep getting in there and saying, I'll be praying, you know, what's your prayer request? And he's rejecting of it, but not so much anymore. I can tell there's a shift when I ask him what he might want me to pray for. So anyway, I've been thinking a lot about that, how it is to be untethered to, you know, the rock when you're free climbing or free falling in the world that is growing increasingly anxiety provoking. And I just have a real tender heart for people who, it's hard enough, I think, for people who do trust Christ to continually have to recalibrate to that reality, that truth, to guide them. But for those that don't at all, what the things that they trust in fall away so quickly under stress.
I'd encourage you to keep pressing in and let him know you're praying for him. I mean, it just reminds me of so many people that when they're going through a trial, they're comforted when people are praying for them. And we're praying to the true God, the only one God that can save them. And thank you. Yep, Bill.
One thing that impressed me during this presentation was Jesus' tone. In talking about this, you know, he just blasted the Pharisees for hypocrisy. you know, he talked about hypocrisy before this.
Yep.
When he dealt with the Pharisees, he just blistered them.
Yeah.
But this, I was thinking, you know, for the seriousness of this, you know, what are we saying to the Lord when we don't trust him? And Jesus is talking about also idolatry here too, but his tone is one of compassion. I mean, he knows our frame. He remembers we're but dust, and he doesn't speak in the same way, in spite of this sin, really, as he does about hypocrisy. Not that it's less serious.
Yeah.
But Jesus is, at least in this passage, he's just taking a different tone. He's talking, you know, remember the birds of the air, you know, and so forth. Anyway, that just impressed me.
Yeah, very gentle and humble in teaching. Dan?
Well, I don't have anything profound to add, but I'm like Dick. As we get older, we think of things long ago and they come to mind. And that's just the way it is. But, you know, along with what Bill said, the way Christ, the parables and the pictures, and sometimes we don't visualize even those real well, but as it was talking again about the birds and so forth, I can remember I was on a deer stand and there's, you know, a foot and a half of snow and it's about 0 degrees. And as it gets dusk, and there's a, you know, a grassland, and so the top foot and a half stalks of the wild grass is above the snow. And just about dusk, in come these flight of little birds, and they're sitting on the snow, and then they jump up on a stalk, and it would bend down, and they'd eat the seed off that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then these verses come to mind, and that if God's going to take care of those, he's going to take care of us because we're more value.
Sure. Yes. And to happen to know those verses in your mind, when you see it and God brings that back to your mind, that's from our daily time with the Lord. That's from prayer and reading his word. Don.
Phyllis and I are going through the experience of downsizing. And my father grew up in poverty on a 40-acre farm in Sweden. And he would never let go of anything that anyone offered him. And I kind of inherited that. We have thousands of pieces of lumber of all sizes. We have 14 rabbit cages, maybe 50 aquariums, and all kinds of things I've collected over the years. My most precious possessions among all those are 75 nail punches, which I can't seem to get rid of. So if anyone needs a nail punch, I have one for you. But I'm also thankful that I was not a waster of anything that I thought I could use in the future. And very often, I needed a tiny piece of plywood and I didn't have to go to the store and buy it. And in many of these things, I often thought, well, this will give me a little more money to give to missions or to the church, and I'm thankful for that. And I love the Lord with all my heart.
Thank you, Don. Thank you. Lauren.
I'm also looking at this question, the one that we haven't really touched on. What do we gain by worrying? And I mean, in a way, I think of how could we even think of it as some, I gain something by worrying. Don't I, isn't it awful? Don't I want it to stop? And that kind of thing. But in a way, I guess I think of worry and anxiety as something that we cling to sometimes, because in a way it gives us some sense, it's kind of an illusion I think, but it's a sense that we have more control if we're anxious, like we're on high alert. And if my trust really is in my own control, which we're vulnerable to, at least in our flesh, even as believers, then in a sense, it feels like if I feel myself to be in danger in some way, I better stay on alert. And so in a sense, we can sort of keep ourselves in anxiety for that reason.
You know, as long as it pushes you back to the Lord, you know, and you're totally reliant on Him, I think worry, if you have worry or anxiety in your life, it's speaking to you to go to the Lord, read His Word, and be encouraged by His Word. So many verses in the Bible just encourages us, and He's teach us to do Your will, Lord. You know, where to start. You know, if you're struggling with anxiety today, I'd go to this verse here. Psalm 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He will make them know His covenant. My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for He will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of the distresses. Look upon my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. I think that's if someone's really in anxiety now, you need a verse like that. And then you need some other verses, just the same chapter 25, verses 4 and on. And then Psalm 23, obviously, the Lord is my shepherd. It's such a comforting psalm for people that are going through a trial. And thank you. Christy.
Sorry.
No, sorry.
For those of us who are parents, I guess I'm just saying this so that I can assume that other people are in this situation as well. I think a lot of what I tend to be anxious about is my children. So it's not, do I have the right things, but are my kids going to be okay? And especially when Sean was in a lot of trouble, I found myself needing to be anxious because I felt like if I wasn't worried about him, I didn't love him enough. And I had to stay up all night wondering if he was going to come home, because if I didn't, then I wasn't a good mom. And I think that's just part of the reason that we tend to be anxious, or that we tend to worry about things, not just things,
sure,
but people, and we do it as a weird, twisted form of love, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yep. One more question. Nope, go ahead. Yep, nope. Go ahead, Chris.
I was just thinking what Lauren was saying there, and I think sometimes, I don't know, we think too highly of ourselves or something. Because, like, I was talking to Doug and Susan yesterday about, like, the Democratic primary and, like, who am I rooting for, because who's going to be the, you know, the least bad, or who's most beatable, or, you know, and as if it matters at all what I decide should happen to the actual result. Like, yeah. We're, you know, and same thing with our problems. Like, we give ourselves too much credit. Like, we can actually change things by just thinking something, or, you know. So anyway, that was my thought.
Sure. Yeah. I think you're right. I think what we really need to be focused about is about the Lord and living for Him. One of the greatest examples I've ever seen about the Lord is in the Bible. I think it's in Acts with Stephen, when he's speaking boldly for the Lord, and he's just totally sold out in the Holy Spirit, speaking for the Lord as he's being martyred. And he says to the Lord, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." He's on his dying breath, he's living for the Lord. Are we going to be able to do that in our own life when we're at the crossroads of this could be it, Lord, or for our child? And Saul was there watching Stephen and approving of his murder, but it was used in Saul's life as a witness. And Stephen said to those people out loud, "Lord, forgive them for what they're doing." And I think that's one of the greatest examples besides Christ when he's on the cross of what he did for us. And I just really been encouraged by that verse for a long period of time. I didn't realize how quick this was going to go. I was going to share with you a couple books that I was using that have helped me with anxiety. One of them is God's Peace, Found God's Peace, and that's by John MacArthur. And it's just, it's about how we can have the peace of God while we're here on earth. Whoops, not used to teaching. We can have the peace of God while we're here on earth. And just helps in there. And then in the back of the book, there's a bunch of psalms about having the peace of God in your heart and how he encourages us. And it's just really been a good book for me. And then he's got another book about that one. It's Anxious for Nothing. And that's just an expansion on that little one. But this one, when I was going through some trials, I read that. And when you're going through a trial and you're anxious and you're reading about that stuff, it really hits home, you know. And I think also this other book I had was from Erwin Lutzer. It's called 1 Minute After You Die. It's a good book to read before you die. It'll encourage you what heaven's going to be like and questions of people that don't believe what's going to happen to them. You know, I'm not going to go out on a limb here. We're not going to be any dumber than we are now. When we get to heaven, we're not going to have that sin that drags on us. But that hope that we have with the Lord to have fellowship with him and not to be dragged by the burdens and cares of this world are going to be so much more wonderful than what we see right now. And we're going to see so clearly when we get there to be with the Lord. And I think that's our ultimate hope, is if we can live now here on earth with a heavenly perspective for our loved ones who are unsaved. I think that's really what I'd like people to get out of this. Sure, we have anxiety and concerns, but the Lord tells us, he knows we're going to have that, and he tells us not to be anxious over and over in the Bible. And in Luke, it's parallel verses to this, what we just read today. I'd like to close with this this verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to close in prayer. I just got one. I didn't realize the time was going by this quick. Let's bow. Dear Lord, we thank you, our Father in heaven. You are the Lord, our God, who holds our hand. You lead us, and no one is able to snatch us out of the Father's hand. We do not fear, because you will help us, and you will wipe away our tears. We long for our heavenly home to be with you. May your word and your Holy Spirit be our guide. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. To God be the glory. Lord, I just thank you for this time together with these people, your children, Lord, that you would bless this. If there's be anything that I misspoke, Lord, blotch it from their minds. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.